There are many families that have been touched by COVID, and some of them have given me permission to say something. We want to say that we've been praying for a number of families behind the scenes, and I say families because usually when one person gets it, almost everybody does. So the Duvalls, we've been praying for you this week, and I know that there's a number of other families that we've been praying for and we continue to pray for. And it seems like this one is no respecter of persons, because I know some have been fully vaccinated and still it's hurting them, and some that have not. But without politics, we are praying for our church family, because today we know that some are suffering and some are not, but we just, we care about you. So we shut down church in person. We know we have a few here, and we want to say welcome to each one of you. We're glad you're here. But I know that there are many of you that are ill today watching, and we just want to say that we care about you. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for all that you do for us. I want to thank you, dear Father, also for our church family. Dear Father, there are many things that we as a church family miss when we are not in person. But dear Father, we also today, in not only in mind and body, but also in the relationships that we do have, feel like we are connected to something. So dear Father, let us explore this today with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. The Ephesians were an interesting group of people living in Ephesus. They were a good kind of people, and yes, I will take this off because it is warm, but there we go. It was a group of people that really made you feel well about yourself. And when this time of year comes in, how many of you throw off your coats? No, none of us do. This time of year, we put our coats on. This time of year, we put our scarves on. This time of year, we put our gloves on. This time of year, the socks get a little thicker, and our boots get a little more use during this time of year. And you're like, well, what does this have to do with Ephesians? Well, just let me get there in a minute. Sometimes everything that we put on, gloves, hats, scarves, all that kind of stuff, it just feels right, correct? It just feels right, especially when it's cold out. But it's also functionally correct, because if you do not wear those, what happens when you go out and it's -5 degrees? You've got about 5 to 10 minutes, and then you start having issues that you never thought you would have. Little white splotches show up on your skin, and later on you can't feel that place for years and years and years. So there's a functionality that comes to it, and there's something that you don't want to do, and that's freeze. But today, I want to talk about something that fits almost the same way as a glove or a good, comfy sock. Look at the size of this thing. It is one of those most warm. I only brought one of them. I was tempted to take two of them and wear them during church, but these are really comfy. This time of year, you put one of these in your boots, and you're like almost an oven. At least I am, because I kind of create heat. That's just me. But this is kind of like what it's like for the church family when we kind of show up together and be together. You're like, Pastor, that's not even fair, because today we're not meeting in person. Well, let's just think for a moment about some of the things that we do as a church family. When we talk about our church family, we talk about each other with pleasure. We talk about one another with kind of a compassion that we don't talk about with everybody else. You have people that make people feel welcome. You have people that teach. You have people that preach. You have people that are able to share with other people. We have people in the past that have prophesied. We have people that organize. We have people that sing. We have people that feed people. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And if you look at that and you see that we all have one purpose, it seems like we're like a good pair of gloves or a nice comfy pair of socks, or even that coat, or even the scarf or hat. It seems like when we join our brothers and sisters and do the activities of a church, It seems like we're doing something that is oh so right. So Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start with actually 9. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he has descended into the lower parts of the earth? Who has descended and is himself also he who ascended far above into heaven so that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some to be apostles. And you're like, wait a minute, Pastor, what? This sounds a little confusing. Well, basically, was Jesus Christ the one that died on the cross, went into the grave, and was resurrected? That's the easy part of putting it together. And when you see that, you go like, oh, yeah, it's Jesus. I know Jesus. He's the one that started this movement. And when you read on, it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ until all have attained to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of a stature which belongs to the fulfillment of Christ. As a result, we no longer are to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Sorry for the little clacking in my mouth. I have to keep a little bit of eucalyptus there. By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who has the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint, supplies according to the proper working of every individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Imagine going outside at -5 degrees and you forgot your socks. At first, it's not a problem. At first, the boots are doing their job. Even if they have, you know, the little fluffy stuff in the top of the boot, you know, it keeps everything at bay for a while. But then eventually, against your skin, that ice that builds up because you're playing, and it's really, well, adults, we don't play, but we have fun and do things out in the snow. Eventually, that little thing starts around your ankle. Have you ever felt that? And then it starts melting, and it starts going into your boot. And then when your feet get wet, they start getting what? Cold. And then when your feet get cold, what happens to the rest of your body? It feels like it comes right up your leg and goes to the rest of your body. And when the rest of your body goes, hey, that's very cold down there, what do? You try to adjust your boot. And in adjusting your boot, more snow falls in. Before long, if you're a kid, you're yelling for mom and heading into the house. But if you're an adult, you don't yell for mom and head into the house. You head into the house and you look for something that's warm and you bundle up and you're like, ah. Sometimes you look for a nice drink too, either tea or something like that. Imagine if it was like that with our church. What would it be like if that was our church? Let me get my technology working here. When we feel comfortable among people that we know, do we just feel comfortable? When you go to church, it feels like a warm, fuzzy pair of socks. You know that you have them. Either they're, those thin ones nowadays that are made for really cold weather that do a lot, or they're very fluffy like this that feel very, very comfortable. You have them, but you wear them only when you want to experience them. Well, it's just the same kind of with church. It's a comforting place like no other place. Because if we are the church, the people, where does the comfort really come from? If you look at the comfort that we really desire as people, being with friends and being with the friends of Jesus, it means a whole lot when all of us are able to be here in person. And I know this is a terrible week to preach this sermon. It's a terrible time. But at the same time, it's the most perfect time to preach this sermon. Because you realize the yearning that you have to be among other Seventh-day Adventist Christians. In person, unfortunately, not like today. Not like today, we're watching in our homes this service, and I want to welcome you, and also thank you for welcoming us into your living room, or to your den, or wherever you are watching. We miss a lot of something when you are not here. We miss a little bit of that warm, fuzzy, sunshine feeling when some of you show up, because when some of you show up, the whole room lights up. When some of you show up, you try and sneak in, and we see you, because we know that you have friends here too. Some of you show up and you say, ah, this is the first time I've done this in a while. And some of you have not attended church in almost 2 years. You see, the devil wants all of us to be so scattered and stay so unorganized that he can destroy your faith in Jesus Christ. But if we have a family, we put the relationships first, and we are called to be a little different during these times. I know some of you are afraid, and rightly so. Believe me, from somebody who has contracted this unsaid disease, it's not fun. But at the same time, we need each other as a relationship with one another and with Jesus Christ. It seems like the same thing has happened in our relationship with God. If you look at Psalms 57:2, it says, I will cry out to the Most High, to God who performs all things for me. And you know what? Sometimes church feels like I'm a little baby and I'm being held by someone. Okay, on the other hand, if you have ever seen a baby, what is your natural tendency? Some of you are like run away, but no, that's not usually true. Usually we want to touch the baby and pat it on the back. And during this time, it's kind of scary doing that. But we always want to nurture and care for that little baby. And yes, I know there are a number of you grandmas out there that whenever you see a baby, you have to hold it. I know, because I'm not a grandpa, but I feel that tendency that I have to hold a baby because it is so sweet and innocent and I want to protect it. Kind of like this picture. It looks like peace and tranquility to me. But wouldn't it be interesting if this is how our church family is perceived? A place of safety and comfort. Wouldn't it be neat? Okay, for all you cat lovers out there, it seems like God in his wisdom has set some of our hearts a desire for a healthy relationship with him. And it seems like when we have that healthy relationship with him, it's like a cat wrapped up in a nice blanket. I have a cat that is oversized. He's a big tabby cat. And every time he starts sleeping, I look over there and I'm like, oh, you have the life. What in the world? All you do is sleep, eat, and roll around in blankets. And then meow if we don't give you something. But this reminds me of what it's like when you find the relationship with Jesus Christ and you're right with God. Wouldn't it be amazing today if we could look and see those evangelists, those preachers, those teachers, all the gifts that are given to the church? Wouldn't it be amazing to see them all being worked to get people to have that comfort and knowing that when they ran into God, they knew who he was? 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint to us wrath to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of like that cat wrapped up in a comfy blanket, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, eventually you'll get to the point where you know that you have security in salvation. If you don't have that, I encourage you to come talk to me or talk to one of the leaders of the church, because it's important for you to understand that when God gives you the gift of salvation, it's not something he holds like a yo-yo and gives it to you and pulls it back, gives it to you and pulls it back. It's a relationship that you enter into. It's a wonderful, wonderful concept. When it's cold out and you've been outside for a while, isn't it nice to have a nice warm drink? Yeah, it is. Even now, when I need some water or something like that, after a while, if you drink so much water, it gets really boring really fast, or at least maybe that's just me. But you drink and drink and drink, and you're like, oh, you know, I want something with a little bit of taste in it. This one looks like it has quite a few things. It looks like it has milk and cinnamon and maybe some cardamom, a couple other things. I can't really see exactly what's in it. But it looks like a nice warm drink. And if you look at that nice warm drink, there's a feeling that goes inside of you right now, right? What are you feeling? Kind of comfort, right? It's kind of a familiarness to it, right? Wouldn't it be amazing that if we had something to give to the community that had some familiarity to it and some comfort in it? And people would go, oh, if you want to feel this, you need to go over there. John 4, verse 7. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. John 4, if you'd turn your Bibles with me. This is the woman of Samaria. That's just what they call her. But I like to call her the woman that was thirsty. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink, please." For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" For Jews did not have dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who was saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." So he said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never thirst again. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of living water springing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." Do you realize that we have one of those wells here at this church? Now, granted, the water does not taste good compared to a lot of places in the city. Or it just does not compared to even my house. But the water comes from somewhere else besides the drinking fountains in this church. It comes from the relationships that we have with Jesus Christ and the ability that we have to share with other people the fact that you don't have to just continue where you are today. You can have something better. And when you have a relationship with God, it wells up within you like a nice warm drink. Something that is comfortable. And at the same time, it is something inviting to other people. Because once you take, like even for instance, a cup of hot chocolate, you come out into a group of people with a cup of hot chocolate, what happens? The kids immediately are like, "Where's mine?" And then the adults, they're already thinking that, but they're not going to say it out loud. And they go looking for it. It's amazing to me that the little comparisons that we have, Jesus looks at this lady and he's trying to tell her about the relationship with him, that he is the God of the universe. And she's so concerned about the water. She's so concerned about it. He's like, "Well, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that." It's like us saying, "Oh, where's the hot chocolate? I want some now." And I know that every single one of you, when I mentioned hot chocolate, was like, "When I get home." And some of you that are at home on TV, I know for a fact right now you're heading for the kitchen. It's okay. Just turn the volume up. Go get some hot chocolate and drink it for me, okay? Because I can't have any right now because sugar is just wrecking my system. But it's just the suggestion. What if we had this ability to look at people and say, "You know what? I have something that you're going to want. I have a relationship with God, and it's amazing. Would you like to hear about it?" Some people will tell you, "Get out of here, you crazy Christian." But some that are searching and looking and knowing that their life is something that they want different, they're going to say, "Sure, I want to hear more about it." And you say, "Well, we have a whole community of people that believe this way. We want to share with you." It's amazing that like a hot drink in a crowded room, everybody wants this. And I don't know about throwing cinnamon in it. I haven't thought about that yet. But what Jesus offers the woman at the well, he's basically offering us today. Our salvation is a relationship with him, and that is like a well that will never run dry. How many of you have ever had to put candles up because the electricity went out? How many of you at home, if the electricity went out, would use candles? You probably still couldn't watch me unless you were like, you know, on your cell phone or something like that. But it seems like when you put a candle out, that it gives a glow of belonging. We use them for therapies. We use them for lights. We use them for romance. And sometimes we use it just for the beautiful aesthetics. We feel a certain way when we're around this kind of light. Imagine the holy place where the candlestick was. Imagine what it looked like when the seven-branch candlestick was all lit up in there. Imagine what that light was to look like. Imagine the priests ministering in between all of the things in that room. It's a real neat thought. Read the stories of Samuel. Read the story of John the Baptist's father. Read the stories of Aaron and the others that worked in the temple. Jesus, being the fulfillment of all the things in the sanctuary, said, and even in his ministry, "I am the light of the world." Now, if you didn't have comfy socks, if you didn't have a warm cup of something, if you didn't have gloves on, or if you didn't have a fire roaring, it would feel kind of alone, kind of cold. But you see, when Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these things, you start to see a connecting point. You start to see the connection that Jesus Christ has with all of these different symbols, all of these different comfort things, and we realize that the warm fuzzies that we have when we come to church, they're not based upon the people that are here, but they're based upon the people here and our relationship with Jesus Christ. They go hand in hand. The sanctuary system is oh so important to our church, and the reason is Jesus is the center of it. And if you look at the sanctuary service, you won't get confused by some of the things that are said in Revelation. Because when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," we realize that he's the only way to the throne of God. And if you didn't have the candlesticks, you couldn't see. You couldn't look and say, I know that I want to go toward Jesus. Okay, I know I have some dog lovers in here too. I know there's cat lovers and dog lovers and probably chinchilla lovers and hamsters and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't have pictures for all of those things. But today is probably a good day to snuggle up and watch church and read about God. Even as we go home today, I know some of you are going to go hiking and things like that because you're true outdoors people and you like to get exercise. I feel a little pasty this time of year because I don't get out as much as I used to because I'm a person that likes to be outdoors. But when it gets cold, I get a little wimpy. But if you look, the weather out there is cold and blustery, and we button up as much as we can, and that brings me back to kind of the things we started with when we started this sermon. A comfortable pair of socks, a nice place to be, friends around, and a warm drink in my hand. But you know, there's more than that. There's more than the friendships with Jesus. There's more than the friendships with us. There is a belief system that we have. A belief system that we believe in because the Bible says it. How many of you, when you see somebody put on sweatpants or a hoodie, think comfort? Yes, absolutely. In fact, when I put on sweatpants and a hoodie, probably some of you wouldn't recognize me because I'm usually not that way. But it's comfortable. It's the warm fuzzies. It's the experience of being around people, but at the same time, I'm being comfortable. And it's the same thing that we have as believers. When we practice the same religion, what religion is not quite what I was looking for, but what we are is a church. Experience and teachings drive us not only to comfort and warm fuzzies, but they offer us the ability to offer other people to be the same way. Now, I don't say that we have to all wear the same stuff. I mean, that's not what I'm saying here today. But to be knowledgeable about who we are and that where our comfort comes from, we're able to share that with other people. You don't have to be perfect or know everything, but you can be identified with the Seventh-day Adventist Church if you slip on the identity of who the Seventh-day Adventist Church is. And those are not just contained in the 28 fundamental beliefs. Is it 28 now? Yes, it used to be 27. It's not just contained in that. It's contained in the relationship we have with Jesus and with each other. As we grow as a community, as we grow as a church, there are many that can be trained to teach and to preach and to share Bible studies and other things about Jesus with others. And some of you are timid. Believe me, I am an introvert. It pains me to be around people a lot, but I do it because Jesus Christ died and was resurrected for me. I do it because people need to hear from a person that is very, very shy and very, very private normally, that Jesus can enable us to do anything for him. I can tell others about Jesus Christ because I know that if I can do it, they can too. How many of you, and I don't, you know, some of you online, I know that you're probably in your jogging suits or whatever right now, but how many of you, when you get off work, can't wait to get into those comfy clothes? How would that be if we couldn't wait to get into the relationship with God and back into the comfortableness of knowing that he loves us every day? Now, I know some of you are music lovers, and some come from all kinds of backgrounds in music, okay? And I've heard basically every genre there is out there. Believe me, I was a youth director, and I have listened to almost everything that's out there. Some music makes my head almost explode. Some music puts me to sleep. Some music bores me out of my mind. And some music makes my toe tap. Some music makes your body want to move. I mean, it's just kind of that way. But there are certain things that even I have preference for, and I know that some of my preferences are not yours. I happen to like men's quartets, and I usually like to have foreign ones, so they sing in Latin and other things. So when you have tenors and things like that that sing together, I kind of like that kind of stuff. And I like other genres too, but when I sit and relax, I play certain groups. I'm not going to say online because I might get kicked off just for mentioning their names. But it's interesting, even in church, that our children's programs have a lot of what? Music. When we open our church service, we have music. When we want to get in touch with our fun and frisky side, sometimes we have music. Sometimes when we have graduations, we have music. Sometimes when we have weddings, we have music. Do you see the kind of string that runs through it? If you look at the heavenly courts, you find music. Because music is a way of communication. It's neat to communicate with others in different ways. And when you hear music and you start sharing that with one another, it also is an experience. And when we do that experience with one another, it amplifies and it gives a lot of good things to people. It gives some good vibes, people say. But when you look at the text that we read earlier today, the Ephesians, you see that it says, give some to this, some to that, and some to the other thing. We need a lot of people that are talented in music as well as teaching Jesus' message. Because when you sing songs, you realize that you are speaking the message of Jesus Christ. When you're singing about Jesus Christ, people are hearing in a totally different way. And I know that there have been music wars and all kinds of stuff. I grew up in this church, so in the 70s, there was music wars. They had fights over the instruments, and they should have had not fights, but they should have had talks, and they should have had something that enabled one another to speak. And after they spoke, then they can come to a conclusion that says, these are the things that we're going to include right now, and some things we might have to wait on, some things we might exclude, but we are just going to be a church family. Whenever there's a fight, I know that somebody's being stubborn. And believe me, being Danish, Japanese, German, Scottish, Norwegian, and a couple other stubborn nationalities, that I can top them. But when I look at the eyes and I see the heart of someone who wants to follow Jesus, it's an amazing thing that when I look at that, I realize that maybe, just maybe, my little box that I've put God in might be too small. And when I look at that, I look and see around all the people in my neighborhood, I think that I have made the house of God too small because I have not had the opportunity to share with them the message of Jesus Christ and let them respond to the Holy Spirit. If you are trying to help people respond to the Holy Spirit, please don't. Pray for them. Pray for them to be able to respond to the Holy Spirit, because only an individual can respond to the Holy Spirit. Only you can respond. You can't help somebody else. That's the most frustrating thing as a Christian. You cannot help somebody respond to the Holy Spirit. They must do it themselves. And in doing that, I believe that music sometimes is a good way to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Not the only way, but a good way at first sometimes. We are all here to worship God, the God of heaven. We all know who he is, and sometimes we come to him as children. How many of you have felt at any point in your life after a grown-up, okay, you kids, you're like, I am a child. But as an adult, have you ever felt when you were introduced to something new about Jesus Christ, felt like a little kid? I have. As a pastor, I started reading something and I was like, whoa, I feel like gaga goo goo right now. I feel like I'm just training. This is crazy. Like little children, we are learning, we are inquisitive, and we are definitely in need of trusting our Heavenly Father. I bet it gives him warm fuzzies as he sees us doing our daily work. And some of you, when I said that, all of a sudden you had a black flash, something really bad and nasty come into the back of your head. But you know what? That's the devil working. Because right now, if you are a child of God and you are doing what you can and you're trying to follow God, don't look backwards. Look to the Heavenly Father, because we all do this. We all look back and say, but, and we look where the devil is. We are children of God. We have this innocence about us that follows Jesus. And when we follow Jesus and we do our daily activities, he is smiling upon us because we have a relationship with him. If you believe that a relationship with God has any evil in it, you need to check your heart and get rid of whatever is causing that, because that is the thing that is holding you back from following God 100%. The more we acknowledge the relationship we have with God, the more I think his heart opens up to us, and our heart needs to open up to him, because the more we have a relationship, it can't be just a one-way relationship where God's like, I'll give you everything. He wants you to respond. And some of you have been hurt in the past, I know. It's hard to respond to someone who loves you, but God has only good intentions. And he only has good things for you. You'd be like, yeah, but, you know, I followed God and then there's bad things that happen. In all relationships, there are bad things that happen, but it's how we take care of it together. In fact, in this church, I know over the years, if you look back, you can see that there were fights. You can see that there were all kinds of things that happened. People got angry and grumpy. In fact, some of you that are watching today may not have darkened the doors of this church for 20, 30 years, but you know what? It was the devil involved. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. So if you've left, if you've gone away because you were angry or frustrated, you need to check your heart, look at your heart and say, hey, you know what? If we're all sons and daughters of God, I can't hate anybody. I can't dislike anybody. I have to look and check my heart and say, I need to be a child of God again. I need to have the innocence of this little girl. I mean, look at this. It looks a little mischievous, I must say. But it also looks like, hello, come play. We should have that innocence as a church family. I think if our hearts are open, it would be wonderful. I know this is unfair too, but I think the most wonderful time to share is around a meal. How many of you around a table have had the most wonderful time of your life? Getting to know people, having conversations, understanding what people are like, knowing what's going on in your family's life. I mean, getting around a table and eating is great. And yes, I did have to put a haystack there because only Adventists understand this. It's the only time you can put almost anything on your plate and call it a haystack. But that's not the important part of this. when we all get back to potlucks and inviting people over to eat again, which I hope to God is soon, what is going to be accomplished around those tables is something phenomenal. It's interesting to see the family ties that are brought together as people eat together. I remember inviting one person home from church because they were just kind of looking out there and didn't know what to do. And I wasn't sick. And said, come home, eat. I don't even know what we're going to eat today, but come home. We can share some time together. Got to know that person. They were doing a census, and they weren't anywhere near home. In fact, we were in Indiana at the time, and the person was from North Dakota. About 6 years later, I was at a church preaching in the center part of North Dakota, which is almost nowhere. And I looked out over the congregation because I was preaching, I was in the conference. I looked, and there was the man. After church, we talked like we had known one another, and everybody's like, how do you know him? I said, oh, we spent a meal together one time a couple years ago when he was doing the census in my hometown where I was. Oh, that's how you know him. And I said, are you related to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so? Yep, this is my cousin, this is my, yeah. And then going around, and we picked up like we had just never had the conversation stop. And you have friends like that too. A lot is accomplished around a table when you can have a conversation. So in potlucks, it's really good not to just sit with one friend group. It's good to sit with people that you don't know and get to know them and understand that the church family has a lot of people that you can get along with and a lot of different groups that you can hang out with. Because if you're like me, I like a lot of different kind of things. I like biking, hiking. I like talking. I like doing all kinds of things, playing games. The sky's the limit. I like blacksmithing. I like collecting Hot Wheels. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things that your pastor likes to do. But a lot of those are things that we can have in common with one another. A place where that can happen is wonderful. And you look at the stories in the Bible when Jesus is feeding the 5,000, when Jesus is eating with the disciples, when the manna is given to the children of Israel. I mean, look at all the stories of eating with one another and what is accomplished during that time. Just imagine the disciples eating that Last Supper in the upper room. A lot of important things were said that night. A lot of important things were done that night around that table. We are in need of people to step into leadership places. We need to train people to serve God in this church. We need volunteers that need to learn how to teach, preach, and to serve. We are rebuilding this church almost one brick, it seems, after all of this that's happened over the last couple years. We are the ones that bring the warm fuzzies to the community. So in the next couple months, as the elders and the shepherdesses and other leaders are looking at what we are going to do, because, you know, we visioned. Remember we had this thing over here, we had a sign, and we wrote a couple things down. Well, we had a digital version of that too. We're going to take all of that stuff. We're going to start planning socials. We're going to start planning small groups. And then as the leaders of the church see fit, we're going to plan some other things too. Because I believe it's important as a community, we don't just feel warm fuzzies around each other, but we plan events and things that we can do that allow others to also have that same experience. Because when we come here, it's amazing to look across the pew and say, you know what, I ate lunch with them one time. They're kind of an interesting group of people. I like them. And then you get to know some other groups, and then you get to know some other groups, and then you see somebody out there that's not a Seventh-day Adventist, and you're like, you know, I have this hobby that I do, and oh, you have that hobby too? And you get to know them, and you share Jesus Christ with them, and you get to know them a little bit more, and you invite them to church. Sometimes they say, no, I don't want to come to your church. I have my own. But if they do come with you, you'd be like, hey, so you have an interest in this. I have some friends over here that are interested in it also. And we like to go out this time every month and go do this. People start getting enthusiastic about the things that we do. And the warm fuzzies become the invite to people to be part of our church family. I find it amazing today that as we read this little verse that we had this week, It says, we don't want you to be like little children who are tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine or trickery by man in craftiness or in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects, not just a few, because some of us want to grow in just a few, your pastor included. It's easier for me to like, these are my strengths and I'm going to stay there. No. You got to grow your weaknesses too. Oh man, I hate when that happens. But God says, let's do it in all things and into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of every individual part causes the growth of the whole body for the building itself in love. As we build ourselves back as a church, as we understand that we can become kind of the community of warm fuzzy, as we understand that we are the people of the book, the people that believe in Jesus Christ and what he teaches, I find it amazing that we can become, to this community, warm fuzzies for Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, I know that there are families that are suffering right now. I know some families that are doing really well right now. I know some families, dear Father, that are watching right now. And I know some families, dear Father, that have fallen away during this time. I know some families, dear Father, that have some other challenges. I know some families, dear Father, also that are making decisions with their families for the rest of their lives, what their children are going to do, what they're going to do. I pray, dear Father, that as we plan and as we look at the future, that you'll give us not only ideas, but you'll give us friendships that we can plan all these things and do all these things in your name. And dear Father, that we would feel not just comfortable being here, but we'd feel comfortable inviting people here to understand who we are. Thank you, dear Father, for being our God. We thank you, dear Father, for being able to come to you. We can snuggle up to you and say, you're my God. And he looks down and you will say to us, you're my people. Thank you, dear Father, for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
A blessing from the book of Jeremiah. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Please sing this last blessing song with me, and thank you for coming to church today. Happy Sabbath.